Good morning. Well, that's cold out, eh? Man, thought I was back in Regina for a minute. Betty and I just want to wish you the very best and blessed Christmas ever. Okay? And it's just a thrill to be here on and one more sleep. Now, I know some of you guys cheat. Yeah, and open them up on Christmas Eve. No cheating in our house. A lot of rattling, but no cheating. Well, we're in the last message of this series of Christ came to light up our lives. And that's why Jesus came to earth. That's what Christmas is all about. He came, first of all, we use the letters to let us know what God is like. And then to inform us of God's plan and purpose in the world and how we fit it into that. And then we looked at His guidance. He guides our steps. He guides and He guards us. And last week we looked at He heals our hurts. And today with T we're going to look at He transforms our life. In Luke chapter 1, there is a prophecy of Zechariah. We sometimes forget about this elderly couple in the Christmas story, but they're very much a part of the Christmas story. And Zechariah had a prophecy when his son was born. Now, his son was John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. Okay? He was the one who was going to go in front of him and herald. And this is what his prophecy of John the Baptist was in chapter 1 of Luke in verse 76. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness. That's what we've been talking about. The light coming into the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Coming into the world. And there's a prophecy of Zacharias towards his son. You're gonna explain this. To shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the path of peace. Beautifully done. He's come to transform our lives. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent a teacher or an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need His forgiveness, God sent us a Savior. It's interesting to me how many people get lost or in trouble in the beautiful mountains of British Columbia and Alberta. Remember the dog walker? Bless her heart. Walking those dogs, and then all of a sudden something happened. She fell down, tumbled down into a ravine, and was there for a couple, 3 days, I think, with just the dogs. Her greatest need wasn't knowledge. Her greatest need wasn't someone telling her, you shouldn't have walked this way. Her greatest need was a rescue. It's kind of like a picture of all of us. The Bible says we're walking in darkness. Our greatest need isn't some more information about how dark it is, or to chat and sit and discuss how wicked the world really has become. Our greatest need is light. Our greatest need is Jesus. He became a Savior. Jesus became like us so that we could become like Him. That's the great thing about this story. This is not just simply about a baby being born in Bethlehem. It's God becoming flesh, taking upon Himself humanity, becoming like us so that we would have the possibility of becoming like Him. He loves each one of us. And He set out to find us, like the search team goes out to find. Luke chapter 2, the next chapter, says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The night sky exploded with brightness. Sheep that had been silent became a chorus of curiosity, wondering what was going on. And one minute the shepherds were dead asleep, and the next they were rubbing their eyes and staring into the faces of angels. And they were terrified," it says. "But the angel of the Lord said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news.'" Wouldn't it be something? They try and do it sometimes. They tack it on at the end of the news. You know, kind of a happy feeling type thing. But wouldn't it be something if they came on today and said, "You know what? Today we're going to give you good news. Good news." Aren't you glad the angel came and said, "I'm going to give you some good news that will cause great joy. In fact, this news is going to be so good that you're going to be so excited about it. It's going to create great joy. And you know what? It's for everybody. It's for all the people." What a thing to say, this angel says. "Bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He's the Anointed One. He's the Deliverer of hope. He's come to rescue you." Can you imagine how she felt when all of a sudden the rescuers were there? They found her. That's what Jesus came to do. See, the Bible tells us that we're in darkness because we decided to go our own way and do our own thing, and we landed up in a lot of trouble. He's the Deliverer of hope, the Lord. "And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." A Savior has been sent. And a Savior is born. And this will bring great joy to all people. Jesus says in John chapter 12, He says, "I did not come," listen to these words, "to judge the world, but to save it." Jesus said, "I didn't come to tell you how bad and how rotten you were or are. I didn't come to put you down." The last thing that woman needed was for these rescuers to say, "You know, you shouldn't have done this." That was the last thing she needed. How do you think she already felt laying there in the cold? "This is the dumbest thing I ever did." She's saying that to herself. She didn't need anybody else to tell her. What she needed is what they did. They put warm clothes on her. They wrapped her up and they hauled her out. And they took her to a hospital. They rescued her. Jesus said, "I didn't come here to tell you how bad you are. I came here to save you. To rescue you. We need a Savior. That's why the angels on the very first day cried this out. A Savior is born. Today, He's been born. Someone once asked me, can't you find truth in every religion? And I say, of course you can find some truth in every religion. No doubt about it. There's only one problem. It isn't truth that I all only need. I need more than just some principles to live by. I need a Savior. I don't need to be told how to go backpacking the right way. I need somebody to rescue me out of what I am. And Jesus is the only one who said, I have come to save you. Not to inform you only, but I've come to save you. I want you to know that if we could save ourselves by turning over a new leaf, by trying harder, by bringing in some put others first principles or whatever, some self-help literature and getting a hold. If we could save ourselves without trusting Christ to come down into that valley and save us, if there was another way than Jesus coming, God would have done that. Why would He send Jesus to become a human being, to take upon Himself humanity and to die on a cross for us, if we didn't need that? That would be a waste of effort and energy and whatever. This isn't just a beautiful story. This is a necessity. There's no other way. If we could do it ourselves, God wouldn't have done this. He would have just sent us some principles to live by and said, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. But we need a Savior. That's why God came. That's why Jesus entered into the world. That's why He became a human being. And the beautiful thing about this, the great joy about this, is that it's a gift. See, at Christmas time we think about gifts, but this is the greatest gift. This is the most wonderful gift of all. It's a gift. It says in 1 John this, God has given us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, He gave. This is a gift. He's given us. It's already been given. Eternal life. That's His life. That's not just life after we die, because He says this, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has the life right now. This is a quality of life that God wants to give you. It's eternal for sure, and it's everlasting for sure. It'll last forever because God lasts forever. But He wants you to have a new kind of life. Eternal life. And God gives that to us. He's given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son, that's Jesus, has the life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have the life. The first thing I want you to recognize here is that this is a gift. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's a gift. Paul makes that very clear in Romans. He says if we could earn it, it would no longer be a gift. It'd be wages for what we did. But we can't earn it. So therefore, He gives it to us. It's a gift. No strings attached. It's kind of a gift exchange in a way. In other words, we have to do something here. Look at this. It says this. For this is said in 2 Corinthians. It says, For God was in Christ making peace between the world and Himself. Christ had no sin, but God made Him become sin so that in Christ we could become right with God. God says, look, I'll exchange your broken life. I'll give you a new life. I'll give you my life. That's essence what those rescuers did. They gave their lives so that she could have her life. The perfect record of Jesus is given to us, and our imperfect record is given to Him. Peter says this, Jesus said, not guilty. Jesus was not guilty, but He suffered for those who were guilty to bring us to God. Jesus said, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. In the Godhead, in the economy of the Godhead, He said, I'll go to earth. And I'll become human. And I will give my life for them so that they can have my life in them. Now, the gift of God is more than we can imagine. This morning I was looking at Titus. And I just want to read this one little passage in Titus chapter 3. It says this, once we were foolish and disobedient. We were misled by others and became slaves to many wicked desires and evil pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy. We hated others and they hated us. But... oh, I like that. So what he's saying is, once we walked in darkness, once we did all of these foolish things, once we were down in the ravine and crippled and hurt, but God, our Savior, showed us His kindness and love. He saved us, not because of the good things we did, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins and gave us a new life through His Holy Spirit. The gift that God gives kind of got three parts to it. First of all, He rescues us and He washes away all of the past. And He gives us His new life. It's a gift. The only way we can receive that gift is because He washes away all the past and declares us not guilty. Then He gives us His new life. And that new life lives within us. He said, my Father and I are going to come and make our home in you. So not only does it deal with the past and all the things, wherever I've been, whatever I've done, wherever, whatever. It deals with all of that. But then He says He generously poured out His Spirit upon us. He came by His Spirit to live within us, to guide us, to direct us, to live with us. Right now, we have His life. He declared us not guilty because of His kindness. And we know that we will inherit eternal life. Not only does He look after the past, not only is He with us in the future, but He says, you know what? I am going to have you with me forever. I want you to be with me. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place that where I am, there you may be also. That's our inheritance as children of God. We're going to live with God forever. Gives us a brand new life. The most ironic thing that I find about this is that some people celebrate Christmas again and again and again. And yet they never open this Christmas gift. They never really get the story that Jesus came to rescue me. They never opened the Christmas present He's given them. He's here right now. He's offering a gift to us. A new future. I read an unusual thing this morning. It just hit me like that, so I had to write it down. I just scanned in the news early. I saw this little report. I thought, now this is stupid. Okay. There was an Edmonton man. I was born in Edmonton, so I can identify, you know. Anyway, who has kept, this was in the news section. They're hard up for news. An Edmonton man who had kept an unopened Christmas gift from a girlfriend who dumped him 47 years ago. You Google it, you'll find it. Man has kept the unopened Christmas gift from a girl who was then 17 years old, who dumped him 47 years ago, and he has continued to put this under the tree every year since then. It was just recently that his wife said to him, "No more putting it under the tree." His children want to know why he's got this tattered old gift that he keeps putting under. Unless this is fake news, but this was in there. I mean, we can't believe this, but you know what? I can believe it because there's some of us who have never opened the gift that God has given to us. Every Christmas we're reminded of it. We stick it under the tree or we go to a service and we try and understand it and we look at it and we listen to it. But we still don't open the gift. And the years go by and the years go by and the years go by. And this wonderful gift that God has given us. The gift of His grace, the gift of eternal life, the gift of His presence by His Spirit in us, the gift of forgiveness is all of ours wrapped up right there, right now. There's only one thing that we have to do. We have to open the gift, for heaven's sakes. John, in chapter 1, he said, "The true light that gives light to everyone is coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which belonged to Him, His world. But they did not receive Him or welcome Him. They left it under the Christmas tree. Yet," oh, I'm so glad there's a yet. "Yet, to all who did receive Him," to those who opened up their presents on Christmas Day, "to those who believed in His name, He gave them the right to become children of God." He takes us into His family. He gives us new life. He comes into our very lives by His Spirit so that we can commune with Him day by day. And He has a home waiting for us beyond this earth. We'll spend with Him forever. Open the gift. Don't let another year go by. You say, "How do I do that?" Well, let me tell you a little short prayer that you can write. Pray. Just this short. "Lord, I give you my life. Thank you for giving yours to me. I open the gift that you gave me." You don't have to have all your doubts resolved in order to have a relationship with God. Do you know that? There's lots of things in the Bible that I kind of still struggle with, yet I've walked with God for decades of years. You know what? I don't understand electricity. I revere it because I've got the odd zap. But I don't really understand how that comes from a hydro dam somewhere up in northern British Columbia. And all of a sudden, I don't even understand how light bulbs work, but they work. But you know, it never stopped me from turning on a light. I had to have it all figured out. I didn't have to understand it all. I could still enjoy a light. You don't have to understand it all. God will slowly explain it to you. You just need to open the gift. Lord, I give you my life. I want to follow you. Thank you for giving me your life. Let's pray. You can pray that in your heart right now. Just start this journey. Just start to open up the gift. I give you my life, Lord. Thank you for giving me your life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth. Thank you that before the very foundation of the world, in your mind always was to rescue us. You never had another plan. That was your plan. You took the initiative. You stepped out of heaven and you took the initiative to come so that we could be saved, so that we could be rescued, so that we could step out of the darkness into the light. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.